that's the number one thing, I think, for any individual, because once you know what your personal core values, it helps you dictate, you know, what environment you want to hang out with, what you want to say yes or no to. So then it starts, because you know how a lot of people, and I guarantee a lot of people listening to this podcast will be like, yeah, I'm busy. I'm too busy for that. I'm too busy for that. I'm too busy for that. But when you understand what you value, you can then, if you're in control, you can say, right, I want to say yes to that because I value that. I'm going to say no to that because I don't value that. So all of a sudden, you're in control of your time.
Hi, my name is Denzel So, nutrition holistic lifestyle coach, exercise enthusiast, and your host of the Denzel Dion Show. I've always believed that each of us has the potential to become the strongest versions of ourselves. My mission is to empower men to thrive in life using fitness and mindfulness as vehicles for transformation. As men, we are called to lead, to empower others, and to own ourselves. My goal on this show is to create a space for men to leverage their body, mind, and spirit. So guys, let's not waste any more time and let's get this thing started. Welcome back everyone to another episode of the Denzel Dion Show. This is episode number 8 and I'm very happy right now because I'm here with someone that I just met online, specifically on Instagram. And you know what? I really like to follow people who are very aligned with my work, very aligned with my purpose, and in line with the recent developments or the recent deaths of the famous Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade. This is one topic that I always wanted to talk about and discuss because, again, mental health is something that's been on the rise. I think there's been a lot of awakening, not only for women, but also for men, to talk about mental health because, you know, I think in our modern age, a lot of people are into fitness and, you know, getting our bodies stronger than ever. But there's a lack of discussion or creating a space for mental health and mental well-being. And so there's none other than this guy right here on the show with me. His name is Lachy Stewart. He's from Australia. And I'm just really very happy because I don't really follow a lot of Instagram influencers. So I really like to follow people who are just really trying to empower men to become, you know, integrated men. So what I mean to say is they like to teach men how to integrate their feminine side as well as their masculine side. So welcome everyone. Let's please welcome Lachy Stewart on the show. Hello, Lachy.
Hello, man. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm looking forward to it. And I appreciate the kind words you said earlier.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate your time as well. So let's get this thing started. So Lachy, one of the few things that really caught my attention with your work is how you incorporate mental health with fitness and CrossFit. How did you find your way with all the work you've been doing right now?
So with obviously my approach, as you mentioned, I like to bring a holistic approach to well-being. I believe, you know, the mental side, like physiology drives psychology and vice versa, them to make yourself overall. So with the work I've been doing now, it initially started out as, you know, I've had mental health issues in my family and I've been through it myself. But a way for me to sort of break through that was by hitting the gym. And when I started CrossFit, to me, and I know everyone's got their own opinion on it, but it got me to start looking at a holistic approach of fitness. So, you know, looking at nutrition, sleep, recovery and stuff like that. So as that sort of started to unfold through my fitness journey, it also got me curious to understand why I was having the mental challenges that I was having and really delving deeper into all of that sort of stuff. So that's how that all sort of evolved, if that makes sense.
So, while you were saying that, I resonated with that because I started my fitness journey with this kind of perspective that it was my outlet of all of my frustrations, my disappointments in life. And then after several years, that's when I started understanding the value of the physiological health, sleep, nutrition, and all that stuff. And then eventually jumping into the spirituality, the mindset, and all that stuff. So, it's kind of interesting that we're kind of on the same page.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So the recent deaths of Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade serve as a wake-up call for all of us about the issue on mental health. No matter how successful or famous you are, it seems like depression and anxiety can be experienced by anyone. Why do you think we have such emerging issues on mental health nowadays?
Awesome. So I think that question to me can be answered in two parts. And what I mean by that, first of all, I feel like why the emergence of mental health issues are going up really could become or come back to a lot more people are in the public eye now. And I know we talk about famous people are, you know, movie stars, actors, such and such. Okay. So they have a lot more eyes on them, but you know, everyone now has their own audience through social media platforms. So I think a lot of people feel a lot more pressure, and we see people or what we perceive as being successful. So then we compare ourselves, if that makes sense, as to why I feel like more and more people are starting to, you know, suffer from anxiety or have depression, because anxiety is really just focusing on the future too much. And it might be looking at it from a perspective as you aren't enough, you haven't achieved enough, as opposed to someone you may be following on social media, if that makes sense. And then depression is focusing, or to me, it's more so focusing on the past, right? And you can often think about, like, if I made that choice, like, we can all connect the dots when we look back, but it's hard to make the right decisions at the right time, you know, because we don't know. So looking back, it can be definitely put you into a sad or a depressive state if you're constantly focusing on the past. And once again, to me, that comes back to social media comparison, and, you know, as success happens or self-sabotage happens, as people reach certain heights of success, right? With that, it's like anything, with more money, with more influence comes more responsibility. And not everyone who gets thrown in the spotlight, i.e. famous people, have developed themselves to be able to handle that, I believe. So that's sort of one way why I feel more and more people may be dealing with mental health issues. But I also then like to question that, is it really on the rise, or is it just becoming more
prevalent?
Yeah, because of the social platforms now, because, you know, now more people are in control of what we see, whereas back in the day it used to be just dictated by what was on the news or what was on the radio or word of mouth, right? Whereas now, like you and I are connecting, you're in the Philippines, I'm in Australia, okay, and we're going to reach all kinds of audiences. So that's without having to go through mainstream channels. So the fact that I'm, you know, going to be talking about my experiences with mental health will then show more people that there's more mental health going on. So is it and this is a question, is it that more people are suffering with mental health issues, or more people are now speaking about it because they're seeing more and more people step up to the plate and say, hey, I've suffered from anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, whatever the mental health challenge is.
Right. So speaking about social media, what are your tips, or how do you, is there a fine line of using social media in a healthy way? Or because I noticed that you come up with videos, you come up with your own Instagram stories, but as an influencer, quote unquote influencer, how do you use social media in a healthy manner so that you don't come into a place of anxiety or depression?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think it's like everything, it's good in moderation, right? So I think, and if you use it in the right way, so for me personally, I purely use it to share my work and to try and empower people. But in saying that, why I say that, I still know that I do waste time, because it's a trap, right? They've developed it so well that you just go on there and scroll. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this can relate to that. And for me, I feel that's unhealthy, because instead of spending that extra 20, 30, 40 minutes a day, or however long it may be, it's probably more, I could be outside doing something active, out in the sun, reading, you know, doing stuff that really helped me grow as a person. So I think, you know, social media, like everything, there's pros and cons. And I think we're really just starting to figure out how to use it, because it's so new, right? So it was so exciting. It's still so exciting because we can reach so many people. We can connect with people all over the world. Correct. We can share our life. You know, it makes being able to upload a photo and have people give us instant gratification is an amazing feeling. So I think that's brilliant. But at the same time, that's also one of the worst things possible, because it's teaching us that, you know, we need instant gratification when we don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say that their greatest strength can actually be your greatest weakness, right? So yeah, I can
exactly. Right? Yeah.
So do you think exercise or any type of movement can improve one's mental well-being? You know, as a fitness and life coach, obviously you can attest to this. So what are your thoughts on this?
100%. I'm a firm believer. It's like your physiology can control your psychology. So from the way that you talk, your tonality, your posture, whether you put a smile on your face. So that's all movement. Well, to me, that's all movement. Okay. So the fact that if I know I'm feeling sad, I can then just force myself to smile for 30 seconds and I feel good. Mm-hmm. Right. Or if I want to go outside, like right now, just before I jumped on this podcast, I jumped in an ice cold pool to just really shock me. And then I laid in the sun for 5 minutes, because for me, that's movement, like moving around the water, going for a walk. It gets me in a great state. Okay. Mm-hmm. So whether it's, you know, traditional exercise or it's literally going for a walk, doing some stretching, it puts your body in a state of mind that you're actually achieving something. And most people have probably heard, I can't even remember who the quote is, I heard it through Tony Robbins, but it's like progress equals happiness. So to me, when I'm moving my body, I feel like I'm doing something to make myself better. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So if I understand cues for myself, and everyone has their own, that make them feel good. So if I know that if I stand with my back against the wall and my posture tall, my shoulders back, or if I jump around for 30 seconds, I know I'm going to be in a higher state of energy. I'm going to be more confident. Mm-hmm. But if I sit here with my shoulders slouched, looking at the ground, mumbling, correct, I'm not going to feel as confident about myself. So I'm a massive believer, that movement, exercise, all that sort of stuff really correlates with having a positive state of mind.
Sure. You actually very hit a very important point, because you know, when you said your posture or how you present yourself to other people reflects your state of mind, you know, it's interesting, because you know, when you see someone slouching, have a rounded shoulders, obviously you won't say that they're feeling confident or happy with their life, because how the body reacts is also how the mind, you know, does its job. So you know, the mind just follows. So your body is your mind, you know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
So besides social media, what is the number one thing you think? What is the number one thing that you think is causing a lot of stress and anxiety for men, particularly these days? Is it their job, or what do you think?
Yeah, it's not necessarily the job, because job's just a title for how they earn income for most people, because in my opinion, most people aren't purpose driven. They're just literally trying to make money to survive. Mm-hmm. So I think the stress may come from external influences by having to have us or be a particular stereotype. So as an Australian male, you know, most of us are trying to provide for a family, work hard, you know, we're Aussie battlers, and that stereotype goes on. So the fact that it's like we work long hours, we provide, we put ourselves last, we don't talk, like, and this is probably a global thing as well with men, that we aren't vulnerable, we can't speak about our feelings. Mm-hmm. So if you're constantly working, you know, 50, 60, 70 hours a week in a job that you know is literally just there to pay your way so you can survive next week, and then you don't get to talk about your frustrations, you don't get to share your emotions, you become this ridiculously full capsule of just whatever the emotion is for people. Mm-hmm. For me, it was anger. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I feel like that's a massive reason, because we feel like, you know, we've got this dream, and all of us do when we're young, we have a dream of how we want our life to turn out. Okay. And mine, definitely my personal dream was never to be like, I'm just going to work for someone who doesn't appreciate me, or I'm going to work 80 hours a week, or do all these things that most of us get stuck in doing. I was like, I would love to be a lifesaver and just be at the beach and surf all the time. And now it's like, I want to travel. Okay. So it was never about work. Mm-hmm. So the fact that most people are stuck in that, and the comparison where it's like, I have to drive a certain car to fit into a certain group, so people take loans and I think it's, yeah, sorry for rambling on, but I think it's just comparison, but also society or their personal environmental stereotypes of how they need to be, even if it doesn't align with their personal core values. Because I live in Brisbane, okay, which is, you know, there's a lot of wealthy people who drive nice cars and live showy lives. But for me, that's showing my wealth is not one of my values. It's adventure, appreciation, completely different things. So because I'm aware of that, I'm never going to outlay money or put life stress to try and match it with those people, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I actually saw one of your Instagram videos that you talk about determining your personal core values, the PCV. And yep. How, as a coach, you know, as a coach, how do you approach someone who doesn't even know what his personal core values are?
Yeah, so it's the first way to really address it. That's the number one thing, I think, for any individual, because once you know what your personal core values, it helps you dictate, you know, what environment you want to hang out with, what you want to say yes or no to. So then it starts, because you know how a lot of people, and I guarantee a lot of people listening to this podcast will be like, yeah, I'm busy, I'm too busy for that, I'm too busy for that, I'm too busy for that. But when you understand what you value, you can then, if you're in control, you can say, right, I want to say yes to that because I value that. I'm going to say no to that because I don't value that. So all of a sudden, you're in control of your time.
Like you have a set of boundaries, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Because in my opinion, why the hell would you want to do something that you're not, that you don't value, that doesn't light you up, that doesn't feel good?
Sure. Yeah.
I know I've done it. I've done it for 23 years where I did stuff that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, why don't I like that person? Or why do I really get on with this person? Or why don't I like that environment, but I love this environment? But I just went through the motions because I was like, I've got to be here. I've got to hang out with that person. I've got to do this. But in reality, it's like, you don't have to do any of that. You choose. So then going back to how do you establish your personal core values? Like, I've got worksheets that I use with my clients and we go through and break it down, and everyone knows what makes them feel good. Everyone knows what they value when you read it and you put meaning to the word, whether it's appreciation. Like, I've got mine on my phone here as my backdrop. Mm-hmm. So I know what they are. And it's like health, happiness, integrity, growth, appreciation, and adventure. So I make sure that I live by those values. Okay. Now, so for people who are listening who want to know how you can find your personal core values, jump online, literally jump on Uncle Google and type in a list of personal core values. Literally find that and you'll get hundreds, and go through and narrow it down to 5 or 6 and understand why they're important to you. And then use that as your compass to decide what career you want to be doing, what you want to say yes to, what people you want to be around, because you're going to start being more fulfilled. And all you can do as a result of that is grow off of the back of it. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're hanging around with people who have similar values, can you imagine how exciting your life's going to be?
Right. So do you think it's possible to be surrounded with people, even though, let's say, for example, my number one value is happiness, but on the other person's point of view, their number one personal core value is, let's say, travel. So do you think it would mesh together well, or do you really need to find someone that their values are totally in order with your, you know, with the exact same order as yours?
Yeah, I think in terms of values change as you change, right?
Correct.
So I'm not saying it's like a set in stone once you've got them. It's just what you're valuing at this point in your life. Mm-hmm. Right? Because as I know for a fact, as I grow as a person, you know, as I one day become a dad or something like that, like, family's going to be higher up the list of my values, okay?
Sure.
So it's just constantly checking in with yourself, but also understanding, okay, if I hang out with people and I know their top priority isn't health, okay? So while I understand that, if they've got a few other, like, adventure or travel or appreciation that align up with me, that's awesome. We can work something out and I can hang around them. But as myself, and I feel I've got great self-awareness, I don't like being around people for big periods of time. So even, and I've never found someone who has all the same values as me, I just haven't. But, you know, if I can find someone who loves travel, I'll talk travel with them. I love having that conversation because it's filling my cup with travel, it's filling theirs. If I can have a conversation with someone who, or work out with someone who really values their health, or talk nutrition with them, I love that. Okay, so it's not about finding the person who ticks all of them.
Correct.
it's just funny, and it may sound to me when I say it, it's like it sounds like you're using people, but I think it's just a value exchange. So if they have the same values, you're going to provide just as much value and excitement into the conversation as they will if you're talking about similar things. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I like that. I like that perspective of yours. The exchange of values.
Yeah. So I don't like to have superficial chat. I don't. If I know that all I'm going to chat to someone about is the weather and how their day was, like, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And I'm honest about that because I respect my own time enough to be like, well, I'm not here to have this kind of chat.
Correct. Yeah. Same as mine. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I must have seen in one of your Instagram posts that you would prefer knowing the ultimate why of a potential client and not just looking good in the mirror. So as a fitness coach, why is it so important to identify and how does it tie in with having great self-esteem?
Yep. So to me, the body image is just like money, right? So if you were to have money and you couldn't do anything with money, okay, it's irrelevant. Like, do you love money or do you love what money provides? And that's the way I look at having a great physique as well. It's like, I love having an awesome physique, don't get me wrong, but I love what it allows me to do. And for me, what it allows me to do is it's to be confident in myself. It's to be able to enjoy going out on the beach with the shirt off. It's to be able to, you know, just feel confident around people in my own skin. So it's not the fact that it's not the body. If people didn't care about what my body looked like, it has no value to me. So the reason why, going back to your question, why I believe it's important to get to the real core of why people want a particular goal, whether it's to have a six pack, good muscles, or just feel confident, because there's always an underlying reason why.
Sure.
Okay, because if we only address, because you and I both know that if you eat well, exercise enough, you're going to get the body and be disciplined, you're going to get that result that you're after.
Correct.
But if you don't keep working on the mind, you're still going to have that underlying issue or challenge that has provoked that action in the first place, because it doesn't change it. It's like when people wanting to buy a brand new car, and then they buy the car and they're like excited for 3 or 4 days, and then the car just becomes another car.
And then you look for another car, right?
Yeah, it doesn't solve the gap. So while it assists, and I'm 100% in agreement that hell yeah, go for the body, because it will, if it makes you feel confident, awesome, because that's going to allow you to tackle what's really going on. If that's the only focus and you don't want to have a look in the mirror and understand what's really going on and talk about it, you're just going to be a really muscly person who's still got so much stuff going on in your head that you can't be truly fulfilled or happy.
So essentially what you're saying is, you know, when somebody is just trying to reach for that, you know, body goal and not really trying to ask themselves what is their inner why, it comes to a point wherein, okay, when they achieve their, you know, their six pack abs or whatnot, they might feel insecure afterwards, because okay, I might achieve my six pack and then what can happen? And then they feel empty, they feel anxious about it. Right?
Correct. Yeah, it's never enough. Like, once you get there, it's like that. My backstory and how this sort of relates to this, when I was playing professional rugby, that's what I thought was going to fill my gap. Like, I always knew that they've had that feeling that something was missing from a young age. I was like, it's just something that I'm meant to be doing. Okay? And for me, because I was an athlete, I was like, it's just got to be the top. So when I got there, when I was playing over in Europe, I still had that feeling.
All right.
And I was like, what is it? What is missing? And then I came back to Australia and went through all the stuff that I went through. And then I realized that, hey, it's not an external or extrinsic thing that I'm looking for. It's in myself. And that's what I think everyone's looking for. But we're hoping, we're secretly hoping that it's something that we can buy or do, that we don't have to look in the mirror and do the work on ourselves, because it's confronting.
So how important now is slowing down as a person?
Massively.
Because I think, you know, when all of us are in the fitness space, it's the symbol of doing, having, you know, reaching, going after this goal. But we really forget to slow down, and particularly doing the yin stuff, because there's yin and the yang, and being in a catabolic state has been the predominant habit of most men. So what are some of your tips when it comes to slowing down?
Yeah, this is a really great question. And it was something that I struggled with. I still struggle with, actually, if I'm being honest. Like, I feel like because we live in this world where it's so fast, right? Social media, we can click a button and we're messaging someone, or we can upload a photo, emails, everything's done now, right? And all of a sudden, all these overnight successes are popping up, quote unquote, because everyone thinks people are achieving success.
Yeah.
Really. Mm-hmm. But what it actually takes is to get to that point, and what I found for myself when I originally started my business 5 years ago was I was working from 5 a.m. till 9 or 10 at night, literally with no breaks.
Wow.
And I was like, I just got to work, and it's going to happen.
Mm.
But I burnt myself out. I was so unhealthy. I was unfit. I was unhappy. But all I was chasing was this business goal.
Mm.
Okay, and it was just go, and I still go through the same stuff now, right? So for me, I schedule time daily to take a walk by the park or just literally meditate or go for a surf, and the amount of times I skip that because I'm like, I need to be doing something productive to build my business or to help people.
Correct.
But the reality is, and I know this just from experience, that if I don't look after myself first, I'm not going to be able to serve people to the best of my ability.
Mm. I like that.
So I need to, like, yesterday I finished everything I needed to do for work at lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what else can I do to grow my business? Or who else can I help, when all I wanted to do and all I had scheduled to do was read a book.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a challenge for me to slow down and just be like, just enjoy yourself. Enjoy the life that I'm trying to create. Because if I can't enjoy it now, when am I ever going to enjoy it?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I'm telling people to enjoy their life, but I'm not enjoying my own.
Mm-hmm.
So slowing down, and like you said, the yin side is really just, it's, you can't have day without night. It's like, you need to do it. It's not as exciting. Don't get me wrong. I love being on the go. I love learning. I love creating. I love doing, but it's also, once I get into that zone of slowing down and, you know, restoration, I love that as well, but it's just a bit harder for me to get into, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate, because social media for me is a killer, like Gary Vee and all these people who are hustling, or CrossFitters who are training 20 hours a day. It's just like, whoa. And it's hard to keep up with.
Yeah. So there's actually a great analogy that I just learned from a mentor that I met virtually as well. And he said that when you're dealing with depression or any kind of negative circumstance, you have to relate it to the seasons of life, or quote unquote, the mother nature. Because again, we have four seasons of life, right? The summer, winter, autumn, and fall. And when you look at the tree, when it's summertime and the sun is shining really bright, their leaves are reaching, you know, they start growing leaves and all that stuff. But when it's winter time, you know, they start to depress, to decompress, go back to its roots. So that's just a great symbol, quote-unquote symbol, of how we can deal with those kind of circumstances in our lives, so that, you know, I think we get caught up with trying to solve for that depressive state or that problem that we have, but we tend to forget that it's part of life. It's cyclical, it's not static. So do we have to recognize and appreciate and own the seasons of life, you know? So what can you say about that?
Oh man, I think that I've never heard that analogy, but I think that's brilliant. And it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
So true. I think everyone goes through it, and I know everyone who listens to this podcast will be able to have some experience where, whether it's themself or someone in their life, that one day they're super happy and the next day they might be down.
Mm.
But I know from my personal experience, I go through times where I literally just need to be by myself. Right. And that, you know, that would probably be the fall, I guess, the winter. So, but when you start understanding that and appreciating that and understanding that's, it's so you, right? Like it's brilliant to be able to, rather than just being like, why am I always sad and talking to yourself in a negative way, being like, awesome, let's appreciate this part of me, because obviously I've had my summer. Let's wind it down a bit. And what do I need to build back up, refresh and get back to summer? And often we, you know, in Australia, it's like we get from the generation I was in, the generation before, it's like if you are sad or whatever, you might get called a wimp or a wuss or all these sorts of words. So we've got this subconscious belief that if we are upset, you know, we're a wuss. So we can't enjoy that part of the cycle. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We can't embrace emotion. We can't embrace being sad. But at the same time, it's an incredible feeling.
Yeah. And he said that if you feel like a zero, be a zero. So that if you want to feel a one, you can be a one.
Exactly.
So what is the single most important lesson you've learned thus far as a coach and coaching people?
It's definitely just got to be listening and understanding. I think everyone's so unique, but we're also connected at the same time. I feel everyone's doing the best with, you know, what we can with the information that we have, right? And I think at the end of the day, everyone's just wanting to feel loved and appreciated. And we're just doing what we know to try and achieve that. So whether people are doing things you disagree with, it's just, from my point, it's taking a broad perspective, and this is even for myself, that everyone's values and beliefs are different because of the experiences that they've had. So I can't ever argue with someone if they have a different view with me, right? Just like when I'm coaching someone, I listen as if their beliefs are the greatest things in the world, because they will, the chances are they're going to teach me something that I don't know. And whereas if I were to coach someone with the view that my beliefs are the best things in the world, it would just end up being an argument, and I wouldn't help their life. Because most people aren't looking for what I'm looking for. Everyone's looking for their own thing, right? In their own meaning.
Sure.
And the only person who can find that is themselves. So, but if we can help them have the conversation and help them understand their own values and beliefs and whether they're serving them in a positive manner, or an empowering manner or a disempowering manner, that's when they're going to start having their own personal breakthroughs.
And that I think is the beauty of being a coach, because I think people forget that being coach also allows you to become intuitive, to tap into your intuition. It's not really all about what you know. It's also, they say that there's a quote, I forgot who said it, but it goes like this, that people don't really care about what you know. They care about how you care about them. So
yeah, how you make them feel. Yeah.
So what's the next level for you right now? What are you trying to accomplish in your career right now?
I just want to impact more men to, you know, live healthier, happier, and more empowered. Like I want them to be able to feel emotion and be proud of it, because at the moment, like, you can walk around and it's just having a conversation with some people, they're just closed off. And I just think, like, what kind of quality of life is that?
They have masks.
Yeah. There is so much to experience, and life just gets, the more vulnerable you get, the more, and I never was vulnerable, and I thought it was just a wimpy thing to do, but the incredible relations, and this once again goes back to, people want love and connection. I feel like that's really what we're after.
Correct.
And you get that through relationships, right? And how can you ever have a deep relationship if you can't be vulnerable?
Sure.
So my goal is to honestly just keep helping, you know, men and women, but men especially, break down those barriers and just use movement, all right? Use movement or fitness as a vehicle to relate those experiences of fitness, because, you know, when you're going through a growth period in a gym or movement wise or mobility wise, you can relate that to life. Right? And when you're having those positive steps forward with your fitness, you're also having those positive steps forward in your life. And if I can continue empowering that, the ripple effect of that's going to be huge.
Right. So before I ask my last question, Lachi, I just want to honor you and acknowledge you for the work that you do. I think, you know, it's really aligned with what I do as well. And I think we're on the same page when it comes to empowering men to be vulnerable, to express rather than depressed. And I think what we have in common is using fitness and nutrition just as vehicles for transformation, not a means to an end, but using it to really propel and help men thrive in life, both in, you know, whether it's in business or relationships. So I think we have an important work to do. This is our obligation. This is our contribution to the society. And I just really want to honor and acknowledge you for that. And I just hope that you keep doing the work that you do.
Thank you, man. I really, really do appreciate that. And same to you, man. Like for us to have the same vision and to be doing it from, you know, different countries is so cool. Mm-hmm. So cool.
All right. So my last question is, what are you most grateful for right now?
I think what I'm most grateful for right now is the experiences that I've had that have led me to have the awareness that I have, and, you know, being able to have that awareness has helped me live. Like, the last 3 years for me have been incredible because I've been aware of understanding my emotions and understanding why they're happening, so I don't feel like I'm chained down, you know. So that's, I think, what I'm super grateful for personally. Professionally, I'm so grateful for to have a platform and to have, you know, the personal belief that I have the influence to help people change their lives. So they're two things that, yeah, I'm so grateful for.
All right. Thank you, Lachi, for being here again. I just so cool to have this kind of conversation with you. And again, like what I mentioned earlier, we hope to empower more men in the future. So thank you, and talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, man. Thanks for your time.
All right. So there you have it, folks. That was Lachi Stewart, fitness and life coach from Australia. It's a great time having him on the show. Again, like I've said before, this is really a conversation that I've always wanted to have, especially because I feel that we are lacking as men to be surrounded with these kinds of conversations and discussions. So, you know, I took opportunity of having Lachi on the show because he's not only, you know, he doesn't only have a great looking body, he produces a lot of videos and he really loves talking about, and I could see it in his eyes that he wants to improve men's lives, not only to be healthy and strong, but also be mentally tough and emotionally, you know, be emotionally intelligent, so to speak. So if you really love this episode, if you got a lot of insights from it, then I would appreciate and encourage you to take a screenshot of this episode from iTunes or Spotify, then tag me on Instagram at Denzel Dion. So that's DenzelDionso. And please make sure to follow Lachi on Instagram as well. That's at LachLandStuart, LachLandStuart. I will make sure to put that on the show notes as well. So I don't have anything else to say. Next week I'll also be recording an episode about exercise and training. I just feel like most of my episodes, these past few episodes, have been all about mindset and, you know, self-love. So, you know, I want to make sure that I can cover fitness, training, and nutrition as well. So stay safe, take care of yourselves, and most importantly, make sure to become the strongest versions of yourself daily. Peace out.